setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
Live from Ramsey Studios in Nashville, you're joining a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to go, and how you can get there. There's a theme there. It's all about you. Why are we selling selfish ambition and just success, success, success? No, we're selling significance. We're selling purpose, selfless behavior, because it's all about giving ourselves away. We were created to fill a unique role. That means you're needed, and it means you must do it. In other words, somebody out there needs you to be you. That's why we show up to do work that matters. 844-747-2577. Simple methodology here. What do you do best? What do you love to do most? Let's figure out where those intersect. How can you use the things you do best to do the work that you look forward to? That time seems to disappear when you're engaged in it. And when you're done, it creates results that give you tremendous satisfaction. That is there waiting for you. You have the answers, I promise. It's my job to get them out of you. So let's go. 844-747-2577. You can also email the show, ask@kencoleman.com, and connect with us on Instagram at Ken Coleman. 844-747-2577. To Baton Rouge we go, where Sheena is on the line. Sheena, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Mr. Coleman. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Happy to. You bunch of happy people in Baton Rouge these days. You got yourself a good football team, don't you?
That's right. Go Tigers. Tigers and gumbo. That's what we're all about down here.
Oh, I'm telling you right now. Just the way you say gumbo makes me want to have a bowl of gumbo, Sheena. But I've got to focus on you, not the gumbo. What's going on?
Well, just to try to summarize it a little bit, my husband and I, we came across your videos on YouTube while watching on YouTube. I'm with
Thank
that. We are on baby step two with Dave Ramsey's plan on the baby steps, and we have a huge mountain to climb. I'm currently working as an insurance adjuster, and I've been doing so for the past 10 years. I make decent money, about $60,000 a year, mm-hmm. but it's not my passion by any means, and I'm absolutely miserable. What I do every day sometimes violates my values. You know, there's some dishonesty and things like that that may be involved. Mm-hmm. And it just challenges me because I've come a long way with my life. I actually suffered with alcoholism for 17 years and found sobriety.
Yes. Sheena. That's huge.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And in finding that sobriety, I found my values and where I would like my life to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I found my passion.
Yeah.
And I actually went back to school to get my master's in counseling.
No kidding.
Specializing in substance abuse and addiction disorders.
That's great.
But where I am, it would involve a pay cut in my area. I did the research on how much the average salary is, and it's like a $20,000 to $30,000 a year pay cut.
Let me ask you, though. Wait a second. So when you did that research, where were you researching those counseling positions? Who's hiring? What's the organization by which you would be working for that pays you that much less money?
I didn't go to a direct company, but I would go online and look at job postings and see how much they would, you know, if they listed the salary or they listed hourly pay.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on. So these were counseling positions. These were substance abuse counseling positions.
Yes, sir.
Well, then who were they for? You said you didn't know. You did. I mean, if you looked at them online, were they?
They do have the names of the different companies. They're usually like the smaller rehab facilities that are in the area.
Okay. And so that's what I'm trying to understand is if you look at rehab facilities versus counseling centers and counseling businesses, I would be curious to know what you could make, you know, what you're charging, and because you've got the qualifications right now, correct? Did I understand that correct?
Yes, sir. I have the credentials, and I'm actually finishing up a certification in trauma to have that as an additional asset to be able to be available to more clients.
Yeah, I'm just curious of those organizations, were they just rehab centers or were they true counseling businesses? Because, I mean, counseling I mean, just to give you an idea, I mean, you're talking about, and I understand that it ranges, you know, to the part of the country you're in, but a senior counselor or somebody who's been around a long time could charge, you know, $100 to $130 an hour. So somebody new coming out, I'd be really curious of what the hourly rate is, what you could charge, and then who you're working for. I would want you to do a little bit more research into what that would look like, just to make sure that you couldn't make $60,000, because that's what we need to replace, right? We need to replace $60,000.
And it would be my goal to be even, you know, to make even more possible.
Of course, of course. But I'm talking about you've got a fear right now. You're going, Ken, my husband and I have got big debt, and I know what I want to do, and I'm qualified to do it. But if I go do it in my area, I'm going to take a $20,000 to $30,000 hit. And I'm saying, I really want you to know that you 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 know that's true. How sure are you right now that you can't make $60,000 in counseling?
I would say I'm about 70%, and that's just mainly because you did point out something that I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
I looked at actual facilities and not like counseling centers or a private practice that's willing to take on someone.
That's
I didn't look at that.
Yeah, that's where there's more money in the private practice of counseling than it would be in your rehab centers and facilities and public, you know, public things like that. I'm just telling you. Now, again, I would be unintelligently speaking, so I'm not going to say anything more. I have no idea, but I just think you need to know that. So if you're 70%, let's go get 100%. Sure. Now, let's look at this. If we come back and we go, okay, there's just no possible way in Baton Rouge for you to become a counselor, substance abuse counselor, because of the discrepancy in salary right now, then the question becomes, how long would it take for you and your husband getting after it, okay, to get yourself to a place where you could step into a lower paying job that you absolutely love? So it doesn't mean it's, well, I got to hang up the dream. It just means I can't do it right now. It makes sense?
Makes sense.
And you have already overcome alcoholism, and you're a fighter, and you're strong, and you're tough. And anybody who can overcome that can hang in there 2 to 3 more years if you had to. I also wonder, though, even if you had to wait a few more years as you all are getting out of debt, I just wonder if you couldn't do some counseling on the side, which would feed that passion muscle and also bring in some extra money, which would go towards paying down the debt. Have you thought about that? Have you looked into that?
Yes. I did get in contact with a good friend of mine who's also a counselor, and she did mention that sometimes there are facilities that will allow night counseling, night group counseling.
Great.
And they may just need someone
after
from 6 to 10 p.m.
That is you. That is you. Because you're going, this gives me the chance to do what I've trained for, that I love to do, that is my passion, and oh, by the way, I'm making extra money while I'm doing it. That will keep you going. Listen, Sheena, you know what to do. You got a little bit more homework to do to get absolutely clear on what your financial opportunities are within that industry. And then as you get more experience, you can move up the ladder and make plenty more than $60,000. So this is just about hanging in there. This is about hanging in there. And you can't, if anybody can. You can't. Don't move. More of your calls just around the corner. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Do you want to make more money to do what you love with the people you love? Have you ever thought about bringing in more income by selling products on Amazon? I want to introduce you to Seth Kniep, the founder of Just One Dime. Starting with a single dime, Seth built a multi-million dollar Amazon business, and you can do it too. With 126 staff and Amazon expert coaches, Just One Dime has trained over 10,000 people from around the world, many of whom are now multi-millionaires. Their award-winning online training, along with personal one-to-one mentorship, will walk you through the entire process, including opening your Amazon seller account, building your brand, selecting a profitable product, finding the right supplier, launching your product, and marketing and managing your online business. If you'd like to learn more, schedule a call today by going to jod.com/Ken Coleman. Again, that's jod.com/Ken Coleman. Welcome back, America. You're joining the conversation about you and what you were created to do here on the Ken Coleman Show. 844-747-2577. So fun to talk to men and women every day about stepping into that purpose. Oh my goodness, can you imagine getting up on Monday mornings? Even though you might be a little tired, yeah, you want a little more R&R every once in a while, but imagine getting up on a Monday morning and actually be thrilled about the week ahead because you're doing work that you love to do. And the results of that work you love to do matter deeply to you. This is not a fantasy. Is it a dream? That's why we call it the dream job. But a dream is very doable. 68 to 70% of Americans are disengaged at work. Oh my gosh. That's a problem. That's the revolution I am trying to lead. A revolution of men and women who are doing meaningful work. Can you imagine how much better the world would be? Let's get at it, shall we? 844-747-2577. Zoe's next. She's on the line in Baltimore, Maryland. Zoe, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, Ken. It's great to be talking to you.
Well, it's great to talk to you. You are in the city of my grandmother's birth. So I love Baltimore, Maryland.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How can I help?
Okay. So my question is, I'm a brand new art teacher. This will be my first year ever teaching for a public school.
Yay. That's kind of fun.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I'm nervous. I've been.
You'll do great.
I hope so.
I promise.
I've been offered two positions. One position was a traveling position where I would be split. My week would be split between two different schools. And I met with the principal, the administration of one school. I got a really good vibe from that the administration in the school. But I'm a little worried about the students and the traveling back and forth, like classroom management and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The other position that I was offered, I know I would be able to handle the students. It's a little bit closer from where I've come, past experience doing some other teaching, but I'm not quite sure about the administration and if I would get along well with them.
Why?
Well, the person that I talked to, he was the principal of the school. It's kind of just a feeling, very straight shooter, nothing that I can put into words, just a feeling.
How much of that, curious, how much of that is a result of the contrast from how he is versus how pleasant and likable, maybe even lovable, the administration from the other school is?
Oh, I was definitely a big contrast between the two.
Yeah, but did anything come out in that meeting that made you feel like you couldn't work for that guy? Have you talked to any teachers at that school? I'm going to call them option two. That leads you to believe that there would be a potential culture, you know, challenge there. Like, have you talked to any other teachers to go, hey, is this just how he comes across? Is he good to work for? How do you feel as a teacher here? Is this a good environment? You need to ask that.
Right. No, I didn't get the opportunity to speak to any of the teachers.
Yeah, but you can. You can contact somebody, can't you?
Okay. I could try. I'm not very familiar with that school or the or any of the teachers that work there.
Oh, okay. Well, I just don't. Hey, you know what? Listen, I'm not going to take that as an answer. You're giving me an excuse, and I'm a fan of you, Zoe. I really like you, so I don't want to be tough on you, but that's an excuse. You can find a way to talk to somebody who knows somebody on that staff, and either they can find out for you or they'll put you in touch. But anybody who's a teacher on that staff will willingly give you their opinion of what the leadership is like there and if it's a good culture for them. You need to know, because you're considering whether or not you're going to go to that school or option one, and you're operating on a feeling that's not been verified. That's dangerous. It's very dangerous. Because here's what we know. You're already concerned about the students. Is that because of the district and the location, and you've heard about students at that school or in that district? What's causing you to be worried about the students at option one?
Yes, for both. I'm familiar with that district, I guess the population, that part of town that it would be in. And it's not it's not a deal breaker. It's nothing that I don't think I couldn't handle. It just might be a challenge that I would need to prepare for and overcome.
Okay, but let me push back on that as well. I get at least 5 calls a month from teachers who tell me they're burned out and there's not such a thing. It's just built up on their heart. But a big part of it is they can't control their students. And in a public school environment, because of all the laws, the public nature of it, they're just not able to handle the discipline. They can't do it. They're limited. Their hands are tied. You know what I'm talking about. Zoe, I got to tell you, you don't have enough evidence to cross off number 2. Mm-hmm. I don't like number 1 because I think your instincts are right. And I've talked to too many teachers who say the behavior issues makes them not want to teach anymore. And I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. What if I fix the behavior problem? Would you still love teaching? And they always go, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm really nervous about that. I guess my point is I'd rather deal with a guy who's a straight shooter and not really super warm and fuzzy. As long as I do a great job, he's staying out of my hair. But you still need to verify this concern with option 2. Option 1 makes me nervous, combined with what you told me, which is that managing both classes, you're splitting your time. That's a unique challenge in and of itself. And the question is not, Zoe, can I do it? That's not what we want. It's, will I thrive? That's the question. I don't question that you could put up with the kids for a while and handle the joint workload. I don't question that it's a can. It's, is it right for Zoe? And I don't know if you've realized this, but I'm on Team Zoe. I'm not on Team School or Team Student. I'm on Team Zoe. That's who I'm rooting for. So I think you got some homework to do, but I'm leaning towards option 2. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
All right. I want you to do what's best for you. So
okay,
get after it, Zoe. You got some work to do. All right. Let's see if we can get to Luke real quick here. Luke is in Butte, Montana. Butte. Oh, there's a great moment for radio. Hey, Luke, I'm sorry I said it wrong. It's Butte.
Oh, it's all good. I hear it a lot.
Say thank you very much. Madison is laughing at me behind the window. She just thinks I am so funny. All right, I got 2 minutes, and you're trying to decide between job offers. Give me the details.
Well, I just heard from an engineering consulting company, and I just so happened to have worked side by side with the guy that turned out to be the owner.
Okay.
So that was pretty fortuitous at the time.
Yeah.
And then another one of my engineers quit to go to a startup frat company, and he put a good word in for me. And I know a lot of people are calling in pretty torn with, you know, tough decisions, but just wanted to call in and say I have 2 amazing job offers.
Okay,
and
so here's,
no matter which way I go, it's going to be great.
All right, so then why are you calling me? We got a minute and a half. Why are you calling me if these are both so darn great? Because I think you want to know what I think.
I want to know what you think.
All right. So which
They're
one would you choose?
Roughly a 2 and 2.
Yeah.
The engineering consulting company, it'd be a very significant pay raise.
Mm-hmm.
But the startup frac company, I'd be the 5th or 6th engineer in the company.
Mm-hmm.
And the management has already shown that they can grow a startup into a successful company.
All right,
and they sold out.
Here's what it boils down to. The first one is just beautiful on paper. The second one is super exciting down the road because you think you might have some stock options and just crazy, silly, stupid money. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is a pretty easy, this is a pretty easy decision. I'm not going to tell you what to do because I'm not in the business of that. What I will tell you is you're a young guy and you're looking at, oh my gosh, if these guys hit it big, I'm going to be like Google. And that's what you're looking at. And I think you have to be willing to take that risk because the other one is just as great. A lot of opportunity. I think both of them are great and I would mitigate the risk. That's what I would do. So if it doesn't hit, are you going to be fine? Is it going to put you further back in your career? Coming up, we'll take more of your calls. Today may be your day to get the clarity you need to confidently step out and fill your purpose. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Hey folks, Ken Coleman here with you. When it comes to looking for a job, most people would probably agree that the whole experience is not fun. But it doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. In fact, they've actually figured out ways to make the job search process better and easier. And candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Ken. It's absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. This is the show that is all about the reason that you are on the planet. There is one. There's a role you're supposed to fill. That means you are needed and you have to do it. So no matter where you are in this journey, I mean, you're not sure what it is, or you know what it is, you're not sure how to get there, or you've been knocked down, beat up, thrown to the side with life coming at you, it doesn't matter. We believe in redemption, restoration, because there is, after all, a purpose. So we're thrilled to have you here on the Ken Coleman Show, 844-747-2577, 844-747-2577. Some of you, today's the day that you need to call in. Now, the lines get full from time to time. You can call after the show is live, 844-747-2577. Leave a voicemail. You can email us, ask@kencoleman.com, and say, hey, I'd like to schedule a call, and we'll get you on the air. We appreciate your patience. This is all about you, so hang in there. Let's go to Brittany, who's on the line in Midland, Texas. Brittany, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, how are you?
I am living the dream. How can I help?
Well, I was wondering what your advice would be for me. I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I am trying to, encourage my husband. He has a good job right now, but he got another job opportunity that I think would be really good as well. And he's been going back and forth a lot on what he should do and stuff like that. And so I just wondering from a wife's perspective, what would be encouraging, but not like telling him what to do, or just, how I can be a better,
sure,
I guess, wife when he's trying to figure,
yeah,
out what to do to support, because,
yeah,
he's the breadwinner, obviously.
Yeah. Is the new job better pay?
I think it could be. Their initial offer was a little lower than what he currently makes, but I think the payout over the long term could be better.
Has he verbalized that?
Yes.
Okay, so what you've got... Go ahead. I want to hear you.
To them, he hasn't talked numbers with, but just from us talking about it, I think it could be potentially better in the long run.
Okay, but I thought it was, this is an actual job offer they've extended to him?
Yes.
Okay, and how long ago did they extend it to him?
A few weeks ago.
Oh my gosh, how much more time are they going to allow him to consider?
I think they want him to make a decision pretty quickly.
Okay. What's he?
Yeah,
what's,
we just started listening to your show a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to call in and see.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad you did. I'm going to give you a construct here to help him and just make him feel super confident with the clarity. And the confidence comes from clarity. And I'm just curious, do you think he's 60-40 clear, 70-30 clear, 80-20 clear, meaning clear versus confused? Where do you think he stands right this moment?
I think 50-50. I think he says he has like the fear of missing out on something new and different, even,
yeah,
though I think he's in his sweet spot as far as his field, and I think he could do either job, and I think either job has a bright future for him.
Does he feel like
when he went interviewed...
Does he feel like either job is in his sweet spot?
Yeah, they're both in the legal field. So I think, one would be slightly different, but they would both be in the legal field. So that's definitely his sweet spot.
Okay. And you were going to say something else. I cut you off. I'm trying to get some details, but you were going to say something else.
One of my things is the wife is, I would love for him to be home more, but I guess there's really no way to say this job versus this job, potentially may bring you home more, or, versus pay. And I don't know. It's just kind of been, I just want to be encouraging,
right,
to him,
right,
and I'm just not really for sure.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this.
Saying, well, tell me what you want to do.
Well, have you told him which one you think he should take?
No, I feel like it's a sticky situation.
Yeah, don't. Okay, good. I'm glad you have it, because I was going to tell you, don't do that unless he asks. If he comes to you and says, hey, I want to know what you think, then you tell him. But as far as you encouraging him, I think you just need to say two things. Number one, I want you to know I'm going to support you and be thrilled for you, whatever decision you make. That's the first thing he needs to hear from you. Okay? And I mean, it's got to be real and genuine, and I believe it is. But you got to go, hey, I've been thinking about this, and I just want you to know I'm on board, supportive. I trust you, and I want you to make the decision what you think is best for you and your career, and I'm 100% behind you. That's what he needs to hear. That's the answer to the question you asked me. Now, there's one practical thing you can do to encourage him, encourage his brain. That first thing I want you to do is to encourage his heart. This is to encourage his brain. I think he needs to do the old-fashioned, and you could just say, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you just do the old-fashioned pros and cons? And let him make the list of pros for staying, the cons for staying. The pros for taking the new gig, the cons of taking the new gig. And that, to me, is just the old-fashioned grandma's way of pros and cons, but it is the most clear exercise that a person can do when they've got a fork in the road. And so that's what he needs to do. And to the one of the cons would be a temporary pay cut. And when I asked you about that, you were like, well, he hasn't talked numbers with them, but that's what we think. Well, I'd get real certain on that. So that's a con. It doesn't mean it's a con long-term. And maybe it moves from the con list to the pro list. If we go talk to them, they go, well, yes, but in 6 months, you're going to end up making more than you currently are now. Then we go, oh, okay, well, that's not a con. But the old-fashioned pros and cons is what you could say, hey, why don't you do this, babe? And I'll go through it if you want, but I'm behind you. But if you're waffling, I think this is the way to go. That's what I would do. One encourages his heart. One encourages his head. All right, let's see. Let's go to Melissa real quick in Irvine, California. Melissa, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can I help today?
Well, I was calling because I am wondering if I am in the right job position or if I should be moving on to something else.
Okay. Do you want to move on to something else?
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Take a shot. Right this moment. So, if you had to choose, and I put you on the spot, do you want to move on or do you want to stay?
I'll stay.
Why?
Because there's great potential.
Okay, but you called me because you're not really loving it right now.
I know, but and that's the part I'm having a hard time with.
All right, so tell me real quick.
I love the people I work with.
Okay.
Yes.
And but what do you love?
I don't have enough knowledge about what I'm doing, and that makes me very unsure every day.
Oh, well, that's not a big deal. So you don't hate it. You're not you're just uncomfortable because you don't think you've got the chops right now, and you're feeling insecure.
Yes.
Oh, well, that's easy. Well, that's it easy.
Is it?
Yeah, let me tell you why. What is it that you need to learn? Write it out. You are being honest with me, and I'm proud of you. You are self-aware enough to call a national radio show and say, I actually like the culture, and if I had to choose, Ken, I'd stay there. But what's causing me grief is that I don't know enough. I don't feel like I've got the skill set yet to do the job to the level that I want to do it. Did I nail that?
Yep, you did.
Okay, but that's incredible. So if you've got that self-awareness, I think you probably have the intelligence to match, which means I want you to get out a piece of paper this afternoon, preferably within 5 minutes of hanging up here. And I want you to write down I want you to write this at the top of the page. These are the skills that I need to develop. And I want you to write them out. So if it's a computer program, if it's whatever it is, you don't even have to tell me. But I want you to detail it out. And then once you get that list, look at it one more time and go, is that correct? Am I being completely honest? And this is just a conversation with you. So you go, yeah, I am.
Right.
So now you ask yourself, how can I best learn those skills? Is there anybody in the office that can teach me those skills? If not, is there a class? Is there somebody else that does this work in a different division or a friend of mine that does this in a similar job that I can go learn this skill from? Who can teach me this skill? And then not only who can teach it to you, Melissa, but where can I practice it? And if you can practice it on the job, which seems like they're fine with you right now, then just do this. Yep. But you need to get your chin up.
Okay.
There is no shame in your game. Identify where you need to get better and start getting better today. And Melissa, you're in great shape. This is easy. So confidently step in to making yourself better. You're going to be proud of yourself, and you're going to walk a little taller. There's still time for more calls, more coming up. This is The Ken Coleman Show. All right, folks, welcome back. This is The Ken Coleman Show, helping you become who you really want to be. That's right. We're taking on fear, doubt, and pride. We've got a simple formula, and it works. You got to figure out what your sweet spot is. It's the intersection of what you do best. That's talent, strengths, and skills. And what you love to do most, that's your passion. Things that make your heart come alive. The work, the results of the work that give you deep meaning. Now, once we get that clarity, we start using the proximity principle, the number one best-selling book from yours truly. Get it wherever books are sold or at kencoleman.com. And you use that proximity principle, the clear path to doing work you love. Get around the right people and get in the right places. Who are those people? Who are the places? They're in the book. Simple formula, folks. Takes some hard work, takes some perseverance and patience, but it does work. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Sean, who's on the line in Helena, Montana. Did I say that right, Sean?
Yes, sir.
You know what happened?
Thanks for taking my call.
I have not seen Helena, Montana in front of my eyes since maybe the seventh grade when I was quizzed on it. And I froze. I really froze. I love knowing where everybody's from, but I froze when I saw that. So I'm glad I got that right. How can I help today?
Yeah, so I'm maybe struggling to find my sweet spot. I've been in the financial services, specifically at a credit union for 9 years. I graduated with a bachelor's in accounting. I'm not a CPA, but I'm not sure that this is really where I want to be. Not sure that every morning that I wake up, I really want to go into work. And maybe struggling a little bit more to find the passion side, but
all right. Well, let's look at what you do best, because there's always a tie, a direct link from what we do best to what we love to do most. Talent always gives us some clues as to passion. So let's talk about what you're really good at doing.
Okay. I've got some top skills that I listed down, deliverer, peacekeeper, problem solver, analyst, and a winner.
Okay, give me those one more time, because I'm writing fast. Deliverer, is that what you said?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
If I'm given a task, I get it done.
Okay.
I like to see it through to the end.
Okay, problem solver and analytical. I'm going to put those two together, because I think you solve problems by analysis. Am I right?
Yeah.
All right, what else did you say? You said one more.
Winner.
What does that mean?
I really am more in the competitive nature. So if I feel like someone's doing a better job than me, I don't like that.
All right, good. I like that, because that's one of the strengths in the book Strength Finders 2.0 is competition. That's one of my top five. So I get exactly. I just wanted to hear you define winner. All right.
Yeah.
So the reason you just tell me why, let's just be really gut level honest. Why is it that you don't want to go to the office anymore? Tell me.
I just feel like I'm spread too thin. I'm pretty heavily relied on at the office. And so,
all right, let me ask you this. If I were to remove 30%, you change the number, by the way, if you know the right number, but let's say I remove 30% of the stuff that they're putting on you, would that change you wanting to go into the office?
Yeah, probably. If I felt like I could, do my best work, then
let me ask you a few more questions. Are you getting a chance to deliver in this current job?
Not as much. I feel like it's kind of passing on to accounting, passing on to Sean.
Okay. What about the analytical problem solving? You getting a chance to do that?
On a case-by-case basis, sometimes I think that's where some of the extra workload comes in, as, you know, people from all over the institution call. call the department to ask how to solve a specific member problem.
How much money do you make?
I'm at $50,000.
All right. What if I gave you $65,000 to $70,000, which is a bump from where you're at, and I said, Sean, you get to determine what it is you want to do as far as solving problems, because we know that you need to use your talents of getting stuff done in the form of solving problems through analysis. And, by the way, you're going to be compensated on how you deliver. So that's where we get to keep score, because you love scoreboards. So if I say, these are the only qualifications of the job, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you a bump of $15,000 to $20,000. What is it you want to do all day, every day? This is passion. What would you love to do? Go.
Yeah, so I have given this some thought, and I guess I'm not sure how I'm going to get there. But
I don't care about that. This is where you're getting hung up. I think you're actually clearer than you're willing to admit. So now let's take away all the steps and put that pressure on me. What do you want to do? Forget about I don't know how to get there. What do you want to do? Go.
So I have a friend that has a business, and he's trying to figure out how to grow the business, and I'm trying to help him figure out how to get there. I haven't got to sit down and meet with him, but I think long-term that's where I'd like to be, is to help businesses grow and figure out.
Let me just cut to the chase. If you're going to sit down with your buddy and you're going to help him grow the business, let's say you guys get a day on the books next week, what are you going to be focusing on? Where will your brain naturally go? And when you're asking questions and assessing his business, where are you going to look to see growth? What are you going to be focusing on?
Revenue streams, cash flow, where he's at to expand.
So there's a little bit of number analysis in that answer. Am I right?
Yeah.
And some operations analysis.
Yeah.
So you're a guy who is, let me ask you this. Are you as comfortable looking at revenue spreadsheets as you are looking at operational strategies to maybe cut cost or create new revenue streams? Where do you fall with those three things? Those are three different things.
I think a lot of times I like to think of improvement. I'd say I'm just as comfortable with improvement in process as I am with cost cutting.
All right. I think that's where you are. I think you're a COO or a CFO with some good operations background and good experience. Because if you think about it, a CFO in a small business is going to have a little bit of operations. But what you just described, you're not so much the guy who's creating new streams. You're thinking about making processes better so that we're being more efficient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's another E word there, effective. So we want to be effective so that we can be efficient. Right. Or the other way around. I don't care how you come at it. Right. But that's operations, streamlining, getting more out of our systems, better process so that we can cut costs. Okay. So that's an operations focus, but it's the cousin to, hey, let's just look at our expenses. Where can we just cut some expenses? You know,
right.
And as a result, we see profit go up. And see, that's where that accounting background comes in, but it's also that analysis. You love getting in the weeds and coming up with a plan based on patterns, based on problems. Am I right?
Yes.
Then you need to be looking for that job. You need to be looking for operations, I think a COO job for a smaller company, maybe start doing some consulting on the side, you know, stay where you're at a little bit. Maybe have a boundaries talk with your leadership there and say, hey, I got a little bit too much coming at me and I'm not being my best. You got to figure out your current situation, but you're going to stay there until you are ready to be hired, until you get another gig. So right now where you're at, let's get some boundaries to help you in the interim. I would start looking today. I think you're looking everywhere for an opportunity to come in and be an operations type guy for a small business where you go, hey, I've got a great accounting background. I might be able to wear a couple hats, but you're going to love it because the accounting you're doing is more from a analysis and directing, you know, a controller to do something, but you're in the weeds. You like being in the weeds, figuring it out, and figuring out operations and numbers. That's where you need to be. You'd love that. I just think you're doing too much of stuff you don't like to do right now. We just walk through it. So you need to be doing something different in a different place, but not far from what you're doing right now. Our time is almost up, but before I let you go, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thanks for joining the conversation. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following at Ken Coleman.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. You can listen to myself, Dave Ramsey, Rachel Cruz, or the rest of the Ramsey Network anywhere with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. Catch all of our full shows, browse by topic, or send clips to your friends. Head to the App Store and download the Ramsey Network app today.